Bitcoin is a more true expression of reality. Things like its censorship resistance and its supply cap. So those the combination of those two things, that I can have my Bitcoin and nobody can take it from me or prevent me from using it, as well as nobody can create more Bitcoin. Those are two things that we didn't really have with other systems.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Bitcoin Path podcast. I'm John Chanot, and this is a show where we talk about Bitcoin and self-sovereignty and about how this new magic internet money is changing the world and changing ourselves at the same time. And I'm really excited to have Ben from the North join me today. Ben is a fellow Miami pleb who I met, had the pleasure of meeting over the last few months, and has become a close friend. So Miami Pleb Series is just a way for me to go a little bit deeper with some of the good friends that I've met in Miami, and to kind of explore the local meetup scene and what that's developing into. So Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. It's good to be joining you, and good to talk to you again.
Yeah, man. Good to have you. So I just wanted to start out, what's cool about meeting new Bitcoiners is I always enjoy hearing their personal journeys because a lot of times there are a lot of similarities that we see in these, even though we're all kind of like grappling with this thing from different directions. So I was wondering if you could just kind of explain a little bit about what your journey in Bitcoin has been like so far.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I've always been interested in Bitcoin. It just took me a long time to overcome my hesitation and to invest in Bitcoin. Been a lifelong libertarian and anarcho-capitalist, and those ideas. In my early 20s, I bought gold and silver. I thought that was the solution to our banking problems. And as I continued to study economics and personal finance, I definitely saw the rising stock prices and real estate market while gold had stagnated. And like I said, I read about Bitcoin for years before I bought any. I just thought, this is a really cool technology, but it's so far out the realm of, eventually becoming, digital gold that it's probably not worth spending time on and investing into. But I finally did buy Bitcoin, and ever since then, it's really changed my, I don't know, my life direction in many ways. Whereas before I went to college, I tried to, get a college degree in order to, check that box off for, the reasons why other people might think I'm qualified to do some job or whatever. Making money, I guess, is kind of a universal human desire. I definitely tried to do a lot of that. But it's different on the fiat standard, whereas on the fiat system, working a fiat job, as I call it, it's very much a political game as it is a technical accomplishment. And as a software engineer, I'm customer facing in my job, at my day job here, even though I'm still working a fiat job for now. And it becomes very challenging in that kind of reconciling the fiat mentality that I'm surrounded by and actually accomplishing things for what my job is all about, I suppose, the software engineering side of things.
So do you feel like it, you kind of went into the technological realm and train and had interest in computers, like you've shared with me before, just out of your pure curiosity of wanting to tinker with the technology and thinking about like the amazing possibilities of what you could create out of it. And so like what's amazing about that is it draws out, I think it, that makes you pursue kind of a path of excellence in trying to master this domain and become competent in these things so that you can build cool shit. But then you go into a job where there's just all this other bullshit that's like political, that where the incentives for some reason are just not aligned. So what do you think, just kind of taking a moment to think about that, like, because I'm sure that's not a unique experience. I'm sure that's something that many other engineers, yeah, many other people like you had, right?
I would like to think it's I would like to think it's not just me. It's really tough because it's enough to make somebody think they're crazy when everybody around them is saying one thing and thinking one way. And I don't think I'm the only one, but I think it's like Atlas Shrugged, the book Atlas Shrugged, where the heroes of society, the productive members of society, just disappear one by one. And I think while those productive members of society are still working in this fiat system, it can be a rather lonely road. There's, you know, the group of producers that have already made their way to Gold's Gulch, but for those of us still on the other side, on the outside, It's a lonely road at times. But I do believe there's a better way.
Definitely. Yeah, I like the term fiat miner. That's kind of what people work in fiat jobs call themselves.
It's very true. It's very true. Kind of just. And what I've realized, it is mostly what I'm doing is I'm selling my time for money. And it's just the worst trade ever. Because as long as you're sacrificing your own time in order to earn a paycheck rather than your money you earn being tied to the value you deliver, it's really just tied to the amount of money you spend or the amount of time you spend, and that's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, I wonder how this is going to change employment, especially with the new Lightning developments and the ability to stream payments and real-time value and everything, like real-time value transfers, how that might change the way jobs work, you know, because it's not like if I'm an employer and I'm looking to create a project, am I going to pay someone just hourly to like work for me, or am I going to pay them to accomplish certain tasks? I guess it depends what the particular tasks are.
Yeah. But. Yeah. I've thought about this a lot, actually. I think particularly for information workers, it's a new kind of working with information is a job that didn't really exist before about, 50, 70 years ago, something like that, when the first information systems came about. And there's a lot of value to be created in information. Like the word information literally means information. Like that's what we do, is we put the universe in formation, and the formations that we put it in create value. So there's a lot of, there's a tremendous opportunity we have to change the way we create information using Bitcoin now. And I think that's going to have a huge change in the way that people are able to make money by doing information work. And I don't have any anything to announce more on that just yet, but I definitely hope to be part of that going forward, is to helping.
Yeah. What would be an example of that? What would that look like?
An example I've got is, what I'd like to see is how, if you have like a GitHub repository for some open source software, and if you wanted to, either earn some money by improving that software, or if you wanted the software to be better and you're willing to pay money for it, you could directly pay some developer to improve that code in a way that's very internet native crowdfunding, rather than even going through a corporation or anything like that. You just get paid Satoshis for fixing bugs, adding new features, improving documentation, producing tutorials. There's all kinds of things that could be created. And now with Bitcoin, we have a way to incentivize that in a way that we didn't have before.
Yeah. What? Yeah, that just makes sense. I feel like that would accelerate a lot of advancement, or a lot of problem solving as well, because right now most of the open source repositories are all updated and contributed to by volunteers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are trying to kind of practice and just hobbyists and improve their skills and contribute, but if they could earn money through that work, that would be a much more like direct way to solve some of these problems. But right now, I don't know how much we're going to get into detail in this. I'm sure you've thought about it a lot, but like right now, most of the programming for these projects are done through GitHub, right? The pull requests and everything like that. Yep. So GitHub is owned now by Microsoft.
That's right.
And I just wonder how incentivized they are to even implement anything like this, because
GitHub won't implement it. Not right. Natively at first. Yeah. I was just speaking more of as a hypothetical, that conceptually we have open source repositories of software, whether they live on github.com or there's other repository websites, or even a website that kind of sits alongside GitHub, where you could go register on some third party website and say, look, I will go fix that pull request, and here's a message signed by my private key so that you know that this is me that fixed the bug, as well as here asking for payment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ways it could be done. It would be really awesome if that became a GitHub native feature, where you could just say, hey, I'll throw in 1,000 Satoshis for this bug fix or for this feature request, and crowdfund things that way, but I don't think it's going to happen natively on those platforms. We'll need to create a new website of some sort to facilitate that.
Right. Yeah, man. Well, we'll definitely talk more about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So kind of getting back to your story, so you train and you started working for the company that you're working for now, and then you found out about Bitcoin, and you were a gold bug at first. You were kind of interested in like the store of value, like hard money, and wanting to find a solution for some of the fucked up shit that's going on in the financial system, and then with Bitcoin, what is it about Bitcoin that kind of captured your attention, that made you think that like Because what you're saying is like this caused a change for you to, it's not just something that I'm gonna buy. Like I want to change like a lot of things about my life as a result of this. Right. So what is it about Bitcoin that made that happen?
That's I guess I could get fairly philosophical on that. You know, Bitcoin is like a true expression of a more true expression of reality, right? So what attracted me originally to Bitcoin was things like its censorship resistance and its supply cap. So those the combination of those two things, that I can have my Bitcoin and nobody can take it from me or prevent me from using it, as well as nobody can create more Bitcoin. Those are two things that we didn't really have with other systems. You know, as a gold bug, it's easy to go buy gold, but then it's really difficult to use that. And so Bitcoin is electronic, so it's really easy to spend, you know, to make those transactions when you need to. But the real problem I had with gold was it's dangerous to physically hold the gold. You know, it's located in either a bank deposit box, which there's history, 6102, there's history of gold being confiscated, or it's stored in my own house and, you know, robbers could break in and steal it, or it could be lost, you know, in a flood or something like that. So it's dangerous to physically hold gold. And then you get to a certain amount of gold where you look for a custodian to hold it. And then again, that could be confiscated even more easily, or it introduces all kinds of fraud and counterparty risk. So, you know, those were the things that initially captured my attention and got me into Bitcoin. And I saw it at the same time as that, I'm not going to lie, I saw it as a way to become wealthy through holding Bitcoin for years, because I believe that those properties, the properties of hard money, eventually will become universally desirable in a way that people don't understand or appreciate the value of hard money today. They really value credit cards and promotions and, you know, all the things that go along with the fiat mentality. Yeah. But eventually they will come to appreciate hard money, and the value of Bitcoin will reflect that. So that's how I got into Bitcoin and what initially attracted me to it. But, you know, we talk about going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, and I didn't really know there was a Bitcoin rabbit hole back then. And, you know, it's one of those things, because Bitcoin is just so true and so pure in its, in what it does, it causes us to think about other things in the world that, you know, maybe our thinking has been, you know, clouded, or our thinking has been wrong about things in other ways, things like diet and exercise and, you know, interpersonal relationships, all kinds of things, where environment, caring for the environment, so many things that Bitcoin touches on or influences my thoughts about it, but not in a way I'd thought of before I got into Bitcoin.
Was that sorry, I was just setting up my tripod here so I can.
Like
just
it.
Like I'm sitting on a park bench talking to you right next to me, right next to me here. I can put my arm around you and everything. So what was like, what for you right now? You're definitely not 6 feet away from me. Right?
I know. Oh, I know. I can practically feel your arm around me.
Wouldn't have it any other way. So yeah, that's what is really that keeps drawing me in and that really amazes me is as we're coming together, like at first this was just like a money thing for me. I'm like, and then as a freedom thing, but then it was like a personal responsibility thing as well.
Right.
Because in order to have all those things, it's like, well, you got to take care of your shit. And then that just leads into so many other aspects of life. So like, thankfully I feel like I was on a path of self-development, you know, as before I even became serious about Bitcoin.
Definitely. But
so, you know, some people, maybe are a bit newer to that path of personal development, but Bitcoin is definitely something that comes alongside of that, and of that path. And even in what you're describing is like incentivizing it and helping it to grow. Is there anything right now that you're kind of working on improving you said you're just learning Spanish, right?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Is that one of your new improvements? Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to learn Spanish for many years, but given the state of the world and with the exciting things happening in Latin America and Bitcoin, notably El Salvador, really looking forward to learning Spanish and potentially helping Latin America adopt Bitcoin. So like you, I was into personal development before Bitcoin, but having Bitcoin has made me realize that, look, if I've got one shot at the human experience, I want to capitalize on that as much as I possibly can. So mm-hmm. I'm buying as much Bitcoin as I can. I am learning as much as I can. I am trying to be the best human I can to maximize on this experience for the time that we have it. So it's been a profound undertaking, I guess, and a great experience. So I'm learning Spanish. Someday I want to learn to make some music, create art, mm-hmm. kind of share with the world.
Yeah. The doing the things that we naturally do as humans, like the things that we want that's one of the things that I realized pretty early on. And I went and like recorded this YouTube video that no one ever watched, but I just walked through nature kind of ranting about this. But I was like, people are naturally free, and people are afraid that if we allow people to be free, allow everyone to be free, that it's just going to be complete chaos, right? Or that it's going to be anarchy and war and destruction and the mob, just mass looting and chaos. And so government status and these bureaucratic organizations use that fear of like, if you don't have us, then then this is what society could look like. Like, looters are going to come kill your kids. But in reality, if people are left to their own devices and if they are allowed to pursue abundance for themselves, all we want to do is spend time with our families, like eat good food, have good sex, and like enjoy life, you know?
So true.
And it's like, man, that's what humans do. So why can't, there's plenty of room on the earth for all the humans to do that. And there's plenty of resources for all of us to do that. So that's what amazes me about, like, yeah, we're in this time where there's like this false scarcity in the world. That's, you know, and we understand that it's because of the controlled monetary system and everything, where people can inflate the monetary supply and harvest the human energy from massive economies, massive industrial economies. But once that's not able to be done anymore, the amount of human flourishing that's possible is truly amazing.
It's going to be mind blowing. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the thing is, I don't believe people are inherently good or bad. People just inherently do what's in their best interest, what they're incentivized to do. And when you see someone commit crime, they're doing it because that was easier for them than to do whatever is the more moral choice in that situation. You know, somebody is going and looting or stealing. That's because that the risk of getting caught, you know, which in San Francisco now, the cops don't even come if you're stealing below a certain amount of property. Right. So of course they'll do that because there's a low risk there and they get a higher return than if they actually went and, you know, worked at some job paying $15 an hour. You know, that's supposed to be the solution to all the poverty, right? So
right,
people do what they're incentivized to do, and we need to figure out ways to secure our property from other people being able to take it. And we also would like to live in a world where everybody has that same kind of protection. So the way to really get things is not by taking them by force from other people, but by contributing to the world and making it a better place. I think Bitcoin will fix this. It'll take some time, but Bitcoin will fix that.
Yeah. So in the transition phase, I kind of see people who don't, more and more people becoming dependent on the state and becoming dependent on the system that they've relied on so for so long, but that system is kind of crumbling and not going to be able to sustain them for very much longer. So we do, you know, see at least the risk kind of a chaotic period where people are incentivized to steal and loot resources as a result of the existing system. And that's why, you know, we're able to store our wealth and our value in this untouchable realm. But we still have our physical security to think of, right?
Right.
And that's why, you know, in our Miami meetups, I've talked about the importance of learning self-defense skills and that kind of thing. And, you know, we've done couple firearms trainings, but like, in your opinion, do you see how do you see things playing out in that regard, and like, what's the best way to what's your strategy, at least?
I was hoping you were gonna lay it out for me.
I've got it all figured out, Ben.
Yeah, definitely. This is just the test, right?
I just want to compare notes.
I mean, I'm very pro gun and pro self defense. I am also very much in favor of getting the hell out of the conflict. So,
right.
The whole world can't be on fire all at once. And as someone with not much physical material possessions, I'm very mobile and able to get around to wherever there's peace, you know, inside the United States, outside the United States, wherever that is. So that's really my strategy. ironically, it's been the last year with the pandemic that having, you know, in some ways, I feel like having a house would have been really nice. You know, we've been very interested in, at least me personally, well, hey, if things get bad in one area, I'll vote with my feet, I'll go somewhere else. But not having a permanent residence where you don't have to pay, you know, crazy rent prices and all that would definitely be nice. So, I mean, there's trade-offs with any strategy, right? There's risk. You could have riots and protests break out in front of your door that would drive down your property value. Or you could have the government, you know, ban, you know, landlords from evicting people who don't pay, or, you know, all kinds of things that could happen, right? That could affect your property value. Property taxes could be raised. So, yeah, everything has its risk. I'm very much just kind of maintaining flexibility at this point, and I don't know long term what's going to happen. I think a big one of the realities we're definitely facing here is, you know, for many Bitcoiners, we don't want the vaccine for various reasons, and it's going to be interesting to see where vaccines become mandatory in order to enter, and versus the places that stay open and free. So Colombia and Mexico right now are both, it seems, pretty open and not too strict on the vaccine and the lockdown protocols and all that. So I might be spending some more time in those countries, but I really think
the cost of living is a little bit less as well, right?
Definitely.
Your sats go a little further.
Right.
That helps.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I don't really have any more of an idea better than that. I wish I did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that it's we're all gonna be kind of looking at what's happening in real time and just responding the best we can and trying to helping each other as well.
Absolutely.
One of the really cool things to me about the Bitcoin network is you know, the social layer, which we've talked about a lot, where it's Bitcoin, the protocol and the asset and the network are digital platforms that are digital information that it's there and it's real and it's true, but the only reason it has value is because we're using it and we're storing our time and our energy into it. So we are the Bitcoin network in a real way. So like our personal connections with each other, I see, is really important and is like an integral part of the Bitcoin network. So what's great is like the more we're spending time together and the more that we're building relationships and kind of working on projects and providing value for the rest of the community and everything like that, like the more solutions we can come up with for defeating tyranny in our local communities, at least, and providing like safe havens if need be for Absolutely. Other Bitcoiners to come and have refuge. So that's kind of like, you know, I saw that happen a little bit in Miami, where like Miami just kind of became the spot where people were coming for a while because it was free, where you can go and do things. And so like jurisdictional arbitrage is definitely part of that, where you have, thankfully in the US, you have these different states and cities kind of providing different policies and competing for people to come. And hopefully that continues, but should things escalate, I take a lot of comfort in knowing that like in any part of the world, I can blast out a beacon and say, hey, like, who has, you know, who has a place to stay for some sats?
Yeah.
And we can kind of coordinate that way, and I can do the same thing in my, wherever I'm at
for someone else. I think we actually need a lot more of that. We need more Bitcoiner Airbnbs. We really need, I feel, tell me if you feel this way, like we have a lot of Bitcoiners that are our age, younger, older, and, you know, we're all kind of like looking for what we should go work on. You know, we've been in Bitcoin for a few years. We see how this could change the world, but we've told all of our friends about it. They've either bought Bitcoin or they haven't. What do we, you know, now what do? Do we just keep mining fiat forever because, you know, we're trying to pump the price? Or is there something we can do that's more active in helping spread Bitcoin adoption? I'm not a protocol developer. I actually think, like, you know, Bitcoin development itself is happening at just the right speed. What's holding Bitcoin back is not people making, you know, signaling for Taproot faster, that kind of thing. You know, we need more of a social layer, and that social layer is a lot of things. You know, your podcast is part of the social layer, but it's not just podcasts. I think what we need are Bitcoin native businesses, things like Bitcoin Airbnbs, Bitcoin community event spaces, you know, Bitcoin native web services, things that only run on Satoshis. Anybody in the world can use it either to make money or to, you know, be a consumer of the service. And it would be outside the jurisdiction of a lot of government reach. I think we need more of that. And again, I don't have anything to announce yet, but I definitely would like to be a part of that someday. And I feel like this is the problem with our generation. You know, our previous generations, they've done cool things like fight in wars that turn out to be bad ideas. Don't fight wars. But, you know, they went to World War One, they went to World War Two, they had Vietnam, they had the space race, they beat the Russians going to the moon, you know, all kinds of things that our parents' generation and the previous generations have done. And we just don't have anything that's like, wow, we're really, you know, we're really working hard on this project or something as a, you know, as a large community of a country or a group of people. And I feel like right now, our, you know, as Bitcoiners, we're a lot of individuals, and somehow we, you know, Bitcoiners could end up getting the term on, you know, mainstream news about the, you know, the plebs built this hospital, or, you know, the plebs built an orphanage, you know, that kind of thing, where we're seen as not just some autistic internet misfits, but we are actually a force for good around the world. So,
Or maybe someday. Both.
We could definitely be both.
I think we'll always be both.
For sure.
There's no way around that.
For sure.
I see the same need, and I see the same potential and future and opportunity. Yeah,
so
there's
if your listeners have ideas. let's get together.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something that, you know, I'm working on, and that we can talk more about later.
I'd love to.
This is key, and it's happening. Like, even some of the major companies in the space are seeing, like, oh wow, Bitcoiners really want to get together and do shit. So you're seeing all these like pop-up events happen, like people are getting together and socializing, and you know that community building is really fundamental. It's just a foundational aspect of any sort of cultural development. So as that happens more, you know, it's just these projects are going to pop up, and we're going to be able to flourish and build an independent system of communication that enables us to actually connect in real life and do actual like real life stuff. That's what really interests me, you know, because I'm not necessarily the most technically advanced person. I've had to learn a lot and always learning. And I think a lot of people use that as an excuse not to like engage on the technical side, but I try not to. I try to learn. But definitely the real life in person socializing and stuff is kind of more my forte.
Exactly. Bitcoiners like to hang out in meet space. Uh-oh.
Oh. And we're back.
It's recording. We're back. So we need more in-person Bitcoin meetups in the meet space.
Definitely. Have you ever read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance?
I have. And as a matter of fact, I'm reading Lila right now, which is the second book.
You are? Nice. Yes. Yeah, I'm like 3/4 of the way through Lila or Lila.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sweet. All right. Yeah, they're both really good books, aren't they?
Yeah, very good. One of the things that really hit me, there's a passage in Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance where he was talking about how society is becoming much more connected, and information flow is becoming faster, and there's this like he had this image of a stream, right? Or of like streams of connection, and the streams are like widening in their bandwidth to where a lot of stuff can go like back and forth. But as the stream widens and there's more water, more information flowing, if it doesn't have are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Lost your video.
My video. Yep.
There, okay. If
sorry, as the streams are widening.
Yeah, if you don't deepen the channels at the same time, then you have the risk of like the water will Delta. Break over its banks and disperse, you know, and it loses its stream function. Yeah. So he saw what he was attempting to do with Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance is to help contribute to like deepening the channels of communication and cultural American cultural connection.
That's very important. You know, it's like there's something that happened in America, in this Western civilization of ours, that enabled an unprecedented accumulation of human capital. And human capital is not the default in nature. And that's something that he digs into a lot in Lila, right? About how cities are formed.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand how capital is formed and then deepen those conduits, things like strong communities, strong families, trust, cooperation, all those things are the prerequisites for capital accumulation. And yeah, like you said, we've got to make those channels deeper, because if all we're doing is just as individuals stacking our own sats ourselves, then I feel like that helps us all, you know, in, as individuals, we become wealthier, whatever, but mm-hmm. we haven't deepened the channel. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. That's mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah. 100%. So Ben, is there anything else that's on your mind right now that you've been thinking about?
Well, I am personally looking forward to going all in on, well, I'm already all in on Bitcoin, but being a Bitcoin nomad for a while and pursuing some of these things that we've talked about. So in the next couple of months, I hope to have more to share with you and your audience on what I'm working on, but I'm collecting a little bit more dry powder, and then I'm going to venture out into being a Bitcoin entrepreneur. So
nice, man.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that's exciting. Awesome.
I'm ready. I'm excited to make the jump. It's taken a lot of kind of mental preparation for myself to, I've spent my whole career earning money by working on something for somebody else. And, mm-hmm. you know, in a way I don't mind, the work that I do, it's creating information for somebody else. And I'll, put somebody else's universe information if they'll pay me for it. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, okay, if I had the opportunity to put those same skills to work, to put my own universe information, what would I do? And how mm-hmm. would I go about it? Where would I live? You know, mm-hmm. all those kinds of questions I've been pondering quite a lot lately. And just about ready to make the jump. And I'm excited to share my gifts with the world in a more meaningful way than just fiat mining.
100%, man. I'm looking forward to the same. Well, is there anything else that you want to plug at the end here? Where can people find you? And what's going on?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm not really anybody famous. I'm BTC Orphan on Twitter. You'll see I'm Ben from the North. I go by BTC Orphan because I'm just trying to, I'm looking for Bitcoin adoption, but I go by Ben from the North, and you can follow me if you'd like. And that's all I got on my mind for today.
Well, do you have a good joke for us before you leave?
A good joke.
I always love your jokes, man.
Well, I don't have one off the top of my head here.
Okay. I put you on the spot there.
Yeah, that's really on the spot here. If you gave me just a minute, I would have had one. Because I just found one the other day that I thought
what
was
about,
pretty good.
I was kind of I haven't asked anyone else this, but I like Pomp's question. Do you believe in aliens?
Do I believe in aliens? I would imagine that somewhere else in the universe, biological life has arisen, but I don't think we have any evidence of that today. I don't believe in like the UFOs in the sense that they, you know, there's aliens out there that are visiting us, but I would say life has probably arisen elsewhere.
Fair enough.
Yeah. What do you give somebody who hasn't moved a muscle in over a year?
I don't know what.
A trophy.
That's Oh man, that's a good dad joke. Yep. I never heard one.
My girlfriend said if I bought her one more stupid gift, she would burn it. So I bought her a candle.
Oh man, love it.
You asked.
Always good. Always ready for a good chuckle. Here,
that's what I'm here for.
Thanks, man.
It's been good talking to you, John.
Yeah, thanks a lot for coming on the show, and yeah, I look forward to talking to you soon.
Likewise. Let's talk when you get back to Florida.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye.
See ya.